You're listening to In Focus on 107.7 The Wolf. I'm John Dampschroeder, and my guest today is a historic figure. Edward Ted Seidel is the most successful whistleblower in United States government history. Ted Seidel won $48 million from a Securities and Exchange Commission fine against JPMorgan Chase for undisclosed conflicts of interest with wealth management clients, unknown to the government until Ted Seidel's tip. The Commodities Futures Trading Board was also a party to that J.P. Morgan case, and Mr. Seidel won $30 million from their take in the J.P. Morgan settlement. So, Ted, as our foremost consultant on financial service industry fraud, is the system all cleaned up now, or is there still some gold in them thar hills?
Well, John, I've done over $1 trillion in forensic investigations of retirement plans. That's my main focus, is retirement plan abuses. And there's a tremendous amount of abuses rampant today. I call it gross malpractice, generally practice. That's how most of the pension funds in this country are run.
You know, out of that $1 trillion, you've been quoted in the past as saying the most reckless single investment you've seen in all your years was Ohio's public funds investment in Beanie Babies as rare collectibles. And that decision originated right here in Toledo, where I'm broadcasting. So I have to ask, is that still the single worst investment you've ever seen?
I think it's the most preposterous, the most obvious flawed, but it certainly is not the worst I've seen to date, because certainly it didn't involve billions and billions of dollars. And the thing that I'm investigating these days involves tens of billions of dollars or more. So the Beanie Baby thing was absurd, obviously flawed on its face, but the stuff we're investigating these days, hedge funds, private equity funds, venture funds run out of the Cayman Islands with all kinds of secrecy and questionable investments, life settlements, payday lending. I wouldn't say it was anywhere near the worst I've seen today in terms of dollars and impact.
Now, you've done a lot of major work in public pension systems across the country, and you always seem to find money paid to Wall Street in fees way beyond what has been reported by the public pension system when you first went in and took a look. So if I told you Ohio's public pensions report fees of $957 million last year, is it possible that they're actually fudging those numbers?
Well, it is not only possible. I have done well over $1 trillion in forensic investigations of retirement plans. I have never once encountered a retirement plan that fully disclosed the fees it was paying. All the retirement plans I've investigated, from CalPERS to, let's say, from California to Rhode Island to Kentucky to Tennessee to Florida, every single one of them understates. Obviously, they're not overstating. They're understating the amount that they're paying Wall Street.
Now, the Ohio Public Employees Retirement System, this state's largest pension, has increased fees to investment managers by fivefold, admitting to $3.3 billion funneled to Wall Street in the last 8 years for investment performance that trails what a 60-40 stock-to-bond index fund would have returned. This seems crazy, but Ohio's portfolio looks pretty much like all of their state pension peers across the country. What's behind the move, Ted, to high-fee, low-performance pension investing?
Well, it's exactly what I said earlier. Remember this: gross malpractice, generally practice. So what you're seeing in Ohio and what you're seeing across the country, and indeed the world, is loading up on opaque, high-cost, high-risk alternative investments. We have never before in the history of this country had 25% of public pension assets swept into secrecy accounts. That's what we have today. In the past, public money were subject to public scrutiny under state freedom of information laws. Over the last 10, 15 years, those laws have been eviscerated. In every state, city, county of this country, there's been a concerted effort by Wall Street to eviscerate the public records laws to allow these funds to keep secret up to 30, 40% of their investments. So this is unprecedented in the history of this country, and it's reckless gambling. That's what I refer to as gross malpractice, generally practiced. Warren Buffett has warned public pensions around this country not to invest in high-cost, high-risk, opaque investments. Yet these public pensions that have lay boards, your listeners should understand that across this country, there are no requirements for financial education for members of the boards of these pension funds. There is no education requirement at all, no financial literacy requirement at all. So the boards of these public pension funds in every county, city, and state have, with no financial experience, believe they're smarter than Warren Buffett and have done exactly the opposite of what Buffett has said for them to do. Again, Buffett has said to stay low cost, invest in passive index funds, be in highly liquid, things you can buy and sell on the stock exchange at any time, highly transparent funds, and specifically avoid hedge funds and alternative investments. That's been Warren Buffett's advice. Public pensions nationally have done the exact opposite, loading up as much as 40% in the high-risk, high-cost alternatives.
And you have called those alternative funds in public pensions an easy mark for fraud, because the pension funds who would be the victims of the theft and the investment managers behind each of the thefts would have an interest in concealing this from the public. But is it true that these pensions would conceal an outright crime?
Oh, yeah. Not only is it possible, they actually have entered into agreements with money managers where they have said that criminal activity on the part of the money manager, Wall Street money manager, will be concealed from not only the pension fund, but the public. I can cite you to actual SEC filings where the money managers say their public pension clients have agreed to not get information about criminal activity and to not pass any such information about criminal activity onto the general public. So that's happening everywhere across the country. There are agreements that to one degree or another frustrate public access to records and have the potential to conceal criminal activity.
Well, how should Ohioans feel about that when, we have pension investments protected by trade secret status, but here the Bureau of Workers' Compensation waited to reveal a $216 million loss that wiped out a bond fund, totally wiped it out, in 2005. Now, the powers that be in Ohio government waited to take legal action that put the fund manager in prison. The elected powers in Ohio at the time denied any knowledge of this loss, despite the fact that their top advisors were all informed of the loss just days before a hotly contested election. The details of the crime were revealed only when the Toledo Blade actually penetrated trade secret protection of just one investment contract. The state currently justifies trade secrets with investment advisors saying Wall Street won't take their money without this protection. Is that true? And if so, is that a good enough reason in your view to go down this road?
Well, if a criminal says he won't take your money unless you agree to allow him to steal from you, that seems to be a pretty easy decision for me. You know, so any, what you have to understand, what the idiots running the Ohio pension funds need to understand is they're a public pension. There are specific laws and investment guidelines that apply to public pensions. And first and foremost is public scrutiny. If somebody comes in and says, I will manage your money, but it will not be subject to public scrutiny, you have to show them the door. No, that's not consistent with what we're allowed to do here in Ohio. Just as back in the old days, there were old Yankee funds created in by Quakers and others in New England that were not permitted to invest in alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. So if somebody came into those funds and said, we're running a gun-toting cocaine shop, you'd say, sorry, we're not allowed to invest in alcohol, tobacco, or firearms. That's not permitted under our guidelines. That's simple. If somebody comes in and says, I'll manage your money but not be subject to public scrutiny, the simple answer is, sorry, you do not fall within our investment guidelines. Anyone who invests public money has to be subject to public scrutiny. So if you won't manage our money, we don't want you.
What should we make of the fact that we haven't learned our lesson out here, that we were actually victimized by exactly this sort of crime, and here we are doing the same thing years later, and it hasn't even created a ripple in the Ohio media, not even in the newspaper that broke the story called CoinGate back in 2005-2006.
Well, I advise the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Comp at least 5 years before the CoinGate investigation became public that there was criminal activity involving the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation. I wrote a letter specifically to Bob Kalman at the fund. I knew the people involved. I warned them, and they ignored it. And there never was a final accounting. There was never a full forensic deep dive into what happened there. Nobody wanted it. I proposed it, I think, around 2006 to your attorney general and to others, and there was broad consensus that no one wanted to go diving any deeper into what happened. So when you don't fully investigate, the chances that history will repeat itself is very, very predictable. So I'm not in the least bit surprised what's going on there, because they never did fully investigate the wrongdoing a decade ago.
So what if I told you that the firm that they brought in to do what investigation was done is also currently serving the joint role as alternative investment consultant for the $30 billion plus portion of Ohio's public employee retirement system in alternative investments, and serving as the fiduciary auditor who has to make sure that all the investment process is above board. This seems like an inherent conflict of interest to me. Am I correct in that assessment?
Well, there's clearly a conflict of interest or a potential conflict of interest that needs to be investigated and by someone who is truly independent. But again, I don't think anybody in Ohio wants that to happen. I have done over $1 trillion in forensic investigations, and there have been over 4,000 pensions that have failed and were taken over by the federal government. There was no forensic investigation ever done on any of those 4,000 pensions that the PBGC took over. Forensic investigations are few and far between because nobody wants to see them done. If they've been done, I've probably done it. And so I can speak with a high degree of confidence that no one in Ohio running a public pension or in a decision-making capacity with respect to a public pension once a full forensic investigation of potential wrongdoing.
When these funds that you've looked at have collapsed, has it been because of market events, or is it normally because of some shady activity inside the investment portfolio?
Well, it's typical, far more often than you would think, it's involving shady activity. One of the things I like to explain to people is pensions are, in a sense, very simple. There are three components to the health of a pension. One is how much money goes into the pot, or the pension or the pot. The second is what happens to the money once it's in the pot. And the third is how much money goes out of the pot and the payment of benefits. So if any of those three elements are amiss, the pension may fail. Usually public attention is focused on money going into the pot, whether the money that the state was supposed to put into the pension was made, and public attention focuses on whether the benefits paid out of the pension are too rich, or there's people like to focus on those two elements. What no one ever focuses on is the second element, which is how the money in the pot is managed over 30 years or so. Every forensic investigation I've ever done with a failed pension has demonstrated that had the money in the pot been managed prudently, there would have been enough money for the pension not to fail, despite cries that not enough money was put in the pot or too much money was taken out of the pot. Those turned out to be red herrings. There was ample money in every pension I've investigated. Had it been prudently managed in low cost, low risk, largely index-type investments, the pension would have never failed.
So there are about $60 billion in the combined Ohio retirement funds devoted to alternative investments. And we're told these portfolios cannot be revealed without hurting the value of the portfolio. One, is there any truth to the contention that understanding the assets in this portion of the retirement portfolio would actually bring a loss of value? Is there anything at all to that argument?
That revealing the assets would cause a loss in value?
Right. That's how they justify the trade, another way to justify the trade secret protection beyond the fact that Wall Street won't do business with us unless we give them this. There's the secondary argument that revealing the portfolio, the true assets, you know, even what's in the portfolio of alternatives, somehow extracts value from the portfolio.
Well, there's no real merit to that argument at all. But what I think the argument is, revealing the assets would destroy public confidence. Because if you knew, first of all, you don't know whether those assets are there or not. When somebody tells you, I've got your money, but I won't let you see it, there's a good chance it's not there. Okay? So when you're talking about money that's been swept into offshore accounts in the Cayman Islands, Bermuda, Isle of Wight, all of these foreign jurisdictions that have very different laws than we have in this country, the risks that that money is not actually there are much, much greater. Where if the money's being held at the Bank of New York or State Street Bank in Boston, you can be reasonably confident that the money's there. But if the money's being secret account in the Cayman Islands, I wouldn't have any confidence that the money's there. And I would ask Ohio pension stakeholders, taxpayers, and participants in these pensions, do you want your money in the Cayman Islands? Does that make sense to you? Does that seem consistent with prudence and retirement security? I have never met a pension stakeholder who thought it was a good idea to have their money in a secret account in the Cayman Islands.
Now, Ohio for accounting purposes, despite the Government Accounting Standards Board rule that indicates they have to at least report fair market value of these alternative investments that do not have any daily market, that we can count on. They tell us that all $60 billion of these assets are there and at fair market. There are no troubled assets, despite the fact that these are actually the riskiest investments you can be making. Is that believable, Ted?
That's not remotely believable. It's not remotely believable. It's a blatant lie. There's nobody at that pension fund who even knows what the assets are. These investments are so opaque that the people running the pension don't even know what they're invested in. If you don't know what you're invested in, you can't possibly know whether the value is being accurately reflected. If you're invested in life settlements or payday loans or Beanie Babies, if you don't even know what you're invested in, how do you know that the Beanie Baby is being priced properly? So the idea that you can have secrecy related to hard-to-value assets, yet somehow be confident that those assets are being properly valued is absurd. How can you possibly know how a hard-to-value asset that has not even been identified to you is being valued properly? It's absurd.
Now, the fees, a lot of the fees on these assets are tied to a piece of the appreciation. If I don't know what the asset is or what it's worth, but I'm giving the fund manager fees, I'm basically giving them whatever they tell me to give them, am I not?
Well, that's the way these funds operate. The funds indicate that the general partner, the person running the investment fund, has the discretion to determine the value of the asset. Of course, the money manager who is determining the value of the assets gets paid a percentage of what the asset appreciates. So there's a conflict of interest. If you give me $100 and I now say, you say, well, what's my $100 worth now? I say, well, your $100 now is worth $500. And I get 20% of that. That means I get to keep the $100 you gave me in the first place.
I mean, this is Bernie Madoff, isn't it, basically?
Yeah. It's all smoke and mirrors. So when you allow the money manager to value the assets in the portfolio, you are allowing the money manager to set his own pay, to determine his own compensation. So it should never happen. There should be independent valuations by independent parties to check to see whether the manager's valuations are correct. But all of this is premised on full transparency. If I can't see what's in the portfolio, if I, the Ohio Pension Fund, cannot see what's in the portfolio I've invested in, I cannot make sure that it's being valued properly and that the fees are being properly disclosed.
Now, by law, Ohio's auditor has the power to swoop in and verify any assets at any time, and he doesn't need any permission from any of the pension funds. But they've never done that. They always accept at face value whatever the pensions say. Should Ohio's auditor take a look at this?
I have barred with state auditors across the country who have claimed, many pension funds and the state pension funds in this country have never been audited. And by audited, I mean by an independent accounting firm. Some of, like in the state of North Carolina, the state auditor is the only one who quote unquote audits the pension. There's no independent audit. So state auditors I've never known a state auditor who actually verified the assets at a state pension, and I don't know one so I'm not surprised to hear that your Ohio auditor has never ventured into these offshore waters, if you will. But they're really incapable of doing it, because this is real serious detective work. This is ferreting out fraud. This isn't basic audit accounting where you're basically reviewing financial statements provided to you. So they should do it. I'm not surprised that your auditor hasn't. I don't think your auditor has even the vaguest understanding of the complexity of the inquiry. And so it's definitely something they should be doing, but I'm not surprised they haven't done it. And if they were to get involved in doing this type of work, they would be, I think, mortified, because it's much more complex than you think.
Well, could a private corporation pull this off without federal regulators stepping in? How is it that public pension systems are exempt from any oversight where there's so much money coming out of each paycheck for these public employees?
Well, it's the history of pension regulation in this country is that we have the only comprehensive regulation of pensions is ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, which is a federal law, and it has a massive loophole. It does not include public pensions. Public pensions are not subject to ERISA. Public pensions get none of the protections that ERISA provides. Public pensions are governed by a patchwork quilt of state, local regulations that more often than not don't provide clear answers on any given issue. So I investigated, for example, whether a pension fund and whether a county pension in Tennessee could invest in hedge funds. The answer was nobody knew. There was nothing there in the statute that said whether the pension fund could invest in hedge funds. There was a regulation that said they couldn't invest in limited partnerships. So they then got a legal opinion that an investment in a hedge fund that was a limited partnership was not a limited partnership. It was really a hedge fund. But anyway, the point is that what little state law there is provides very few answers, very few protections when it comes to public pensions, and the comprehensive federal law does not apply to public pensions.
Ted, thank you for a very enlightening, if I may say horrifying, look at the pensions here in Ohio and across the country, in the public sector at least. Thank you once again for your time today on In Focus here on 107.7 The Wolf.